This is podcast number 3 of ARC, Riffs of Cronus, Aeon's Riffs of Cronus, a game design podcast. Starting first here, we got some interview questions for Greg, Thomas, and myself. Just to talk about what we've been working on the week, spend a few minutes on that. And then we're going to talk about some other cool stuff that's interesting to us. So number one is, what have you been working on? What needs to be done? And what are your goals for the upcoming week? So who would like to start?
Greg can start today.
All right, what have I been working on? Actually, there hasn't been a whole lot to be working on because there's only two people that I have to receive work from, and that's going to be Mr. Sander, who's doing our templates. We have one more piece of art to come back from him, and then Wayne, another artist on our team, he's going to be bringing in the last two cards, the past and future, and once they're in and approved, then all the art will be in, ready for print.
Have you been able to identify a suitable person to do the boxes on the card yet?
I have a couple in mind. I'm still waiting on the template.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on it too.
Once we get the template in, we can get something going.
Template for the...
The box.
Oh, the box.
Once we know exactly how the box is to be laid out, I can give it to an artist. I have a couple in mind. I haven't really told anyone yet, but they're definitely down.
Okay, cool.
It's just going to be the same box, right? We're not going to...
No, they all have five different boxes.
There'll be different boxes.
Yeah, five different boxes. Okay. It'll be the same basic design, but it'll be slightly different for each faction. They'll display a picture of, I think, the actual time traveler on the back, and on the front, it'll just have our logo.
Okay.
What have you been doing, Ryan?
Working on, what did I do? Because some of the stuff I didn't get to get done that I wanted to get done. But one thing I just worked on was just pretty much editing the podcast. Had to focus a lot on work this week because it's January and it's been very difficult to find time to do things. I did put a blog post up. I post some art. Posted an update on Kickstarter and worked on Twitter. Twitter was pretty cool. We got like another thing that I've been working on as well is just tracking all our followers and
I've been seeing some followers coming.
Yeah,
through.
So we've been getting our increase and all that, which is really good.
That's muy bueno.
Yes.
So we had 9 followers actually this week. So that's pretty good. We also had four added to our list size. So there are basically 4 things I'm also tracking as well. Is tracking weekly visitors, weekly Facebook likes, Twitter followers, and then eye contact list size for the Cyborg download. And so we got a good Twitter following, so we're just trying to just grow that. I mean, from 47 to 53, not humongous, but definitely moving in the right direction. Facebook likes, we went up by 1. Weekly average for visitors was down from the previous week because the website was down for a few days. Because we had an average of 86 visitors per day of 604 visitors, and then we went down to 379 visitors, or average of 54 visitors per day. So trying to get that going. And then trying to figure out how to grow our list size, because that's pretty important. So that way we can market to the list and just give them updates and stuff. Actually, one of the reasons why... what did you call it? Traffic was a little bit down. It was partially because I wasn't able to send out an email to the list, so I didn't have time to do that. So I'll be able to do that as soon as I edit this podcast, and I'll just post that as my update. Goals for the week is to just continue to grow these things. I'm just continuing to work on Twitter for the most part because I don't really have a lot of time because of my job for right now, at least especially for this last week of the month, or actually this is the last full week of the month. And I'm mainly going to just be focused on just using getting Twitter and then working on organizing the artist list, because that's actually, because it's the spreadsheet that Thomas sent me was I have to go to each website and collect all the emails, so that takes a little bit of time. So those are my goals for the week. Thomas?
So what have I been working on? One of the things I've been continuing to work on is working directly with the manufacturers. And trying to find a way for us to do a larger print run, which it looks like we might be able to do, hopefully. If not, no big deal, but that's one of the things we're trying to work on right now. In addition to that, I've also been talking with distributors, and I'm happy to say that we are connected with Alliance Game Distribution now, which is really big news and pretty awesome. Excited about that. And you'll see that go up on our website in the next week or so. But so that's really awesome news. And so now that we're connected with them, hopefully we'll be able to get our game be seen by quite a few more eyes. So I've been working on that. And and I keep having issues with viruses on my computer, so I've been working on trying to get that fixed. I think I have a problem because I have Windows Vista per Ryan here, who's our...
Did you even do a Windows update at all?
No.
Yeah, because so there's always a lot of updates for Vista, or Windows, for malicious software removal.
So now what I got to do is I got to actually go in and rip everything off of those computers and put them on a different computer for now. I got to get an external hard drive or an additional hard drive that I can just attach. But basically, that's going to take me out of the loop for a couple of days. And I've been working with Jess a little bit. We had a nice long conversation yesterday about the rules and how priority works in our game as opposed to how it works in other games and how we can make sure it's simple and fun and exciting and all that stuff. So that's what I've been working on. What needs to be done still is I still need to nail down exactly who we're going to be using for manufacturing and make a decision in the next week. I also need to finalize all the templates for the cards and get the print run running as soon as we get back. We're waiting on, like Greg said, a couple of pieces of art. We have to get one image brightened up slightly. And other than that, I mean, it's pretty much ready to go. Awesome. As far as goals for the week and what I'm focused on, I just went over that. So that's... I think that the only other goal that I have for the week is to start networking with a lot more people and start setting up meetings with people for when we go to Gamma Trade Show in March, I believe, which is in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I guess before we move on with the next segment, I do have I guess we'll talk about Ascension because I was playing with their cards, and I don't know. Do you know what manufacturer they use?
I do not.
Yeah, it's not appropriate. But,
Yeah.
The cards are imperfect.
Right.
So have you seen them?
Yeah, especially the original ones. They're not as high quality as...
Oh, even the new ones. We got the Storm Souls. It seems the same to me. I don't know. I haven't seen the first ones. But if you look at the back, their colors are not uniform. There's obviously discrepancies. So they're basically marked. Also, when we're playing with them without sleeves, the ink gets on your hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
On the Ascension cards?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
It's pretty nasty, actually. But I don't care. The game's hella fun.
The ink gets on your hands?
Yeah, well, it does. It kind of rubs off. It has this wax...
Yeah, it smells like wax, right?
Yeah, it has this wax coating on it.
Huh.
And that wax coating gets in here. I had to wash my hands after we were done.
That's crazy. Wow.
It's not like a ton, but definitely enough to be like, why is my hands all weird and waxy-like?
Yeah.
So definitely in that. And I was thinking of that, about how great the game is, and they don't have the highest quality cars. I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, the increase in how much we would have to pay for the expensive print run. This doesn't seem like it would necessarily make sense, especially when we have a great game.
I found out today, actually, from talking with one of the reps that I spoke with today from the distribution companies, that apparently, this is what I was told, L5R was manufactured at one point by Delano Services, which is one of the companies we're looking at using for manufacturing.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of good news. I was excited to hear that, you know.
That makes sense to me. I mean, Magic cards are actually perfect, basically.
They're the highest quality.
Yeah, they're like ridiculously perfect. You look at these cards, it's like, man, these cards are like, they don't get on your hands. You can throw them at people and kill people with them because they're so thick and sharp. You know, I mean, just like...
Speak for yourself.
To do card magic.
Yeah, you're the only one in this room who can throw a card 50 miles an hour.
So, I mean, and they're all uniform, and you look at the back, it's all very, very consistent. And I remember talking to you when you talked to the guy at Delano Services about what kind of quality you use, because there are basically no errors.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with the Ascension cards, whatever manufacturer they use, there definitely is a significant amount of errors. That doesn't take away from the gameplay, really, but...
Yeah,
but which is good because it's really not even designed to be. It's not even a collectible card game, really.
It could be the paper stock that they're using for the cards too. That could be another thing. So that's interesting, though. That the ink comes off. That's not good.
Yeah. So,
should take one of the cards and water it down and see what happens.
See what happens.
The ink, like, drop it in a glass of water and see if it, like.
It probably would. I'm sure something comes off of it because it gets on
my hand. Probably like the wax coating you're talking about. Because it does smell like wax when you open the box.
Yeah. So there's something that definitely makes it a.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see what
your point is that it doesn't matter for them. They're still doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also our card being, I mean, not that I want the highest quality, but this is our first print run, you know, and any extra money that we spend, if we're having an 80% increase in cost or 60% increase in cost, that's basically taking away from the bottom line for us to do future development and release the next phase faster.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I was looking
for. Let him know that I was actually talking to Jess about this. One of his concerns was all the wording on the same concern you had being everything being too much on the politician card. So if that happens, what I'm thinking would be a really simple solution is just pull the wording part out. Leave it exactly how it is, but just pull the wording itself out so it still looks like an old document with that wax seal on the bottom. It would still work.
So it's just like an old parchment paper?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that would still work. But not to have them change it now, just if it's a problem when we put all the templates up. And then that way it's a simple solution, it's quick, it's easy for him to do.
Well, I was looking at it, and I don't actually think it's going to be too much. Like, that was my concern at first.
I don't think it will be, but if it does, I just want to give you a heads up, you know, as the art director.
You think the lettering might clutter the card up too much?
That was my concern at first, yeah. Okay. It's just that it's too busy.
I think with the, depending on the font you use, which you're going to use just a basic black type font for the cards.
He actually has the font in his computer that I want to use. It's really
You
nice.
Want to use that font?
It looks good, yeah. Is that the same one?
It's not Magic font, is it?
No.
Okay.
You're not talking about the rule 6 one. You're talking about like the name and
on the card,
all that
that you use on there.
Name yeah. field card.
That place. Is Matrix bold small caps. It comes with most versions of Windows,
and it's Matrix.
It's my favorite movie.
There you go. So I mean, with that, it's two completely different type fonts, and then the black is going to be obviously darker in the front. So I don't see it being a problem at all.
And the other thing you could do is put it in some, if you're really, really worried about it and you really want words, make something in some fake, non-existent language.
Yeah.
Or put it in Latin or something.
Like an alien language.
It's either going to be...
You wouldn't look at it immediately. Your eye wouldn't necessarily be drawn to reading it as opposed to all of the lipsticks.
Is time, because of time constraints, it's either going to be how it is, and if that doesn't work, it's going to be nothing.
Does that make sense?
And it'll still look awesome blank. I mean, it'll look exactly the same, but it'll look like an old piece of parchment, like you said. And it'll have that wax seal on it, and it'll have that look.
Did you ever get down to those three ones that were missing?
No, because my computer's all jacked up. I ran Malwarebytes twice. I let Malwarebytes run for 3 hours straight.
Conspiracy.
I told them
Malwarebytes. You know what it is? On your computer.
It's our competition. They're screwing us.
I told Sander. I told him that if we had anything to change, to let him know. But that we had, I only had 18 of the 21 files. So I said, can you look through your stuff? You know, and my Photoshop. I was only on trial. My trial is done, so I can't see it no more.
Let me help you with that.
Oh, I can get
him. Have Ryan download the. Send him. He'll.
Not if he's messing with your computer and you're getting viruses and stuff.
No. Forward him the email. He'll do it at home. He has Photoshop and all that at his house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about the multi-faction template.
Yes.
It looks really cool, but I don't know what that has to do with something being multiple factions.
We're just going for a unique look, but one of the ideas...
Faction and a non-faction. I guess that's where I'm getting kind of lost, too.
Well, non-factions are things that do not have a faction, and multi-factions are things that are more than one faction.
Yeah. So what's two separate things. It's just like a magic...
Oh, one's artifacts, one's color.
Gold cards.
But well, that... What? Okay.
Gold cards, artifacts. Literally.
No, gold cards and colorless cards. So in Magic, you have cards that are multiple colors, and they have certain requirements.
Right.
In Magic, it's
what's
that you have to pay
again,
certain
Ryan?
Colors, right?
Ryan C. Saplin.
And then you also have cards that are colorless that you do not require color mana. This is a similar concept. The non-faction one doesn't care what kind of Aeon you're playing. It doesn't
it
care
can be used
about
by anybody with no restriction.
Okay, what the multi-faction one?
The multi-faction one can be used by any Aeon... Without penalty, by any Aeon that is one of the factions that it is.
Do we have multi-faction cards?
Not yet.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah, you do have multi-faction cards.
How many? I'm just wondering.
Like,
I'm only...
like six or something like
that. Okay, and so it only belongs to like two or three, not like five.
Exactly, yeah.
I got it. Okay, that's what I was...
Yeah, it's like a gold card, basically. It's the same concept.
Technically, the non-faction cards 14. Are all five. Like, because anybody can use them. So you're never going to see one that's more than four max.
So basically, if something belongs to the purists and the cyborgs and I played it in the engineers, I'd take damage.
Like, for example...
Right, is that right?
Yes, but you can play it in either the purists
magnetic,
or the cyborgs.
Without taking damage.
Reverse magnetism. The one that has fate, that deals one.
Yeah.
Kind of remember.
And if it's discarded from your hand, you can play it. It's timeless. You can deal one damage to target Aeon.
Yes.
Okay? So that is part of every faction except for the politician.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
So, with the card frames, I'm still wondering why we have so many spots on each card template for factions.
Like the circles, you mean?
Yeah.
I was wondering about that, too. I think the circles are not all supposed to be there, right?
No.
They're just...
No.
They're built that way so we can have them in.
So you can take them. So they can take them off. I guess.
If we want
you can take. You can put all four in there. You can take them down to one.
Right? We had them do it. I know, but we had him do a universal style, so it'd be easy for him to break down all of the other ones. So we explain it once. He sets it up so they can all be removed, or each one can be implemented individually.
Oh, and he has
and it's the same exact thing on every single one.
Oh, I see. So basically, you can have three or four.
Obviously, it's not necessary, but is there any chance I can get my hands on the PSD files for that?
Yeah.
I'll forward it to you right now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
So you might be missing one, but this is what I was going to say.
There's three.
No. Yeah, but it's three of the same one, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like two of the same one and then one of something else.
Okay, you'll
I can see him, but I can't see the name, but I can't see the card, so I can't tell. Because at one point, he did mix up multifactual and universal by typing it in. So he sent me the universal card, but he enabled it multifactual.
We'll figure it out.
So that's why I need someone to look at it and tell me which one's missing.
Do you have CF Photoshop?
I can have Photoshop.
You plan to have it?
That's good enough.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to send it to you right now. What's your email?
Free trial.
Okay. You're going to get this. You're going to download it at home because it's
I like the way you did this.
It's big.
Oh,
good job.
Yeah.
It's
awesome. So one of the things I wanted to tell you, all of you guys actually, is one of my thought processes is after seeing what your program that you were showing us does, it would be neat to use that to build out the cards depending on the quality or the DPI that it saves at. We could actually use it, and
it for what?
300 DPI or higher for our card templates.
To be sent, you mean?
You saw his program that he was
building, right? So for what though?
To be sent to the manufacturer.
Oh, I see.
So that would be if it saves at the right DPI, if it doesn't break down the card and make it like save.
You're talking about the resolution.
Yeah, as long as it has a good resolution.
Currently, it is set to.
Can you change the DPI on it?
I can make it use whatever pictures I want, and it will just... It is actually... What it's doing is it's just loading the picture exactly as it is. It's not modifying it at all.
Okay.
So, basically, if I want it to use a certain card template, I tell it what picture file to use, and it's just applying that picture directly. So it's not even modifying it. It's just laying stuff...
What was the name of the software again?
It's Magic Set Editor.
Magic Set Editor, okay.
It's,
I'm okay with that.
It's freeware stuff.
Damn,
there's
dude.
Not very much.
I know, right?
I'll have my slave do it for me.
So the thing is, if you want to use
I'm
that.
I'm efficient.
If you want to
it's
use that, we can do it, but I'm going to have to do. When you want to start making all of the templates?
As soon as we're done with the rules, we can work on that.
Okay.
When
does it need to be done and sent off to the publishers?
By the end of this month. So I have everything scheduled to come into me by the 23rd, so I start working on it on the 23rd.
Okay.
Oh, everything per template, all 60
or we can
cards,
do
so
sooner,
do?
But I don't want to take you away from the rules. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
Well, the only problem, like, once, the issue with it is that the program is designed to work on Magic cards, which means that I have to build the entire template from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't actually do until I have all of the information necessary to do it.
You'll have it today.
That's why I wanted this place.
It's at your inbox right now.
Because it's designed, like, it's not hard to change, it's just a CSS file.
Right.
That tells the program where everything is supposed to go.
Right.
But I have to actually have, you know, all of the pictures for it to do
it. Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Just take time.
What I was going to say, though, is if we can use that program and it works... What we'll do is we will do your concept for the multifaction.
The hybridized cards?
The hybridized cards, yeah. And then we'll have an extra template that
just
we can use when we come out with a new Time Traveler. Or we can use that for the droid, for the limited
edition. Use it for whatever, yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
We can do special, maybe it could be like...
Yeah, you could actually use that one for non-faction, too.
It could be for special promo cards.
That's true.
It could be
Magic Set Editor. Okay, I'm just... I'm worried that it's not going to save the DPI. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I don't know the program.
We have both scenarios.
Okay.
If one doesn't work, we have the other one.
Yeah, I didn't bring my laptop, or I'd show you. What it actually does when I export it is it exports it at the... resolution that the picture was originally imported at.
Oh, it doesn't.
So, basically, what it does is it takes the picture and it overlays everything on top. It doesn't actually change the size of any images it uses. So, when you tell it to use an image, you have to make sure that that image is the size you want it to be.
Otherwise,
so,
it's like you see one corner of this
right,
giant piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can shrink it though in the program, right, to focus in on a smaller part of the image. Like, for example, let's say you have a picture and the picture's like
1200 by 1600.
Yeah, and you put it in
the
program.
Oh, as far as the picture that is used for
the
card
art. Inside
yes, but I'm actually referring to
As it exports.
I'm actually referring to the
resolution.
The resolution of the card art itself, or the frame art.
Yeah.
And like the little, you know, here's the cost symbol, and here's
right.
the
I got you.
All that stuff.
That's and what I just sent you is to scale.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I've already got all the card art images.
Did we get the faction symbols back from Vincent yet?
Yeah, I sent them to you.
The white ones?
Yeah.
Okay. They're in the, are they in that big file you sent me? I sent you a text message with faction symbols,
yeah.
But we're actually going with white versions of them.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's... So, it's not... They're not going to be okay. that one. Those are good for now to use in the rolls and stuff. Like, the black ones are perfect.
Well, see, the other ironic thing is, I understand we want to get the rules done, but the book can't actually be done until we have images of actual cards to put into it. So, it's a little bit of a...
Yeah.
We do need to work
on
it.
I'm going to send both to you again, just in case.
Yeah, we can do that today, actually.
What kind of font do you... Yeah, once I have all that stuff, I can mess with it. The current, I was currently going with the same resolution that it uses for Magic cards. If you want, I can maybe print some of those off and see what they look like. Or we could just put them in Photoshop and see if you like that size. You know, just let me know what resolution you want the cards to be at, and we can work with that. That's not a big deal.
Okay, yeah, we'll mess with that. One more thing. Did you ever hear back from Sander on that really nice layout that he did for us? On the...
Yes.
Did he send it?
I think I have it here. Give me a second.
It's like Greg like stocks up like all his art, and then like randomly he'll be like, "Oh, here's something, a gift from Greg the God, the art god. Here you go." Okay, so the next part of the meeting, part two. So there's some fun topics here. We're gonna talk about what makes a good game, and also what games we like, and why we like to play them.
And just general discussion over good game design, what we play. I guess I'll start off. I wrote some notes. Lately, I've been very addicted to Ascension on the iPad and iPhone. Just playing a ton of it. Probably play like at least 5 games a day, at least. I've been just freaking playing a ton. Anyways.
Yeah, you should tell them about that game last night.
The one that I beat you at?
No, the one that I beat you. That was crazy. We both had like huge scores.
104,
and I think yours was like 90 or something. It was insane.
I'll read some of my notes. I'm just kind of playing the physical version versus the iOS version on the phone or iPad. My son is getting to an age now where he's understanding games, so we're playing like I Declare War or some card games some cards I got from Walmart.
That's cool.
I also bought Uno, and we're trying to teach my son how to play Uno. My son's 4 years old. And what else is there? What I like about games in general is, you know, obviously some strategy. I'm a big strategy guy. My favorite games are like StarCraft and WarCraft, so I kind of like real-time strategy, which is kind of why Magic fits very quickly with me, because that's what I, you know, my whole life of gaming has always been, has been Magic. You know, I didn't really do any D&D. I played a little bit of RPGs with Final Fantasy, but mainly Magic the Gathering was mainly my favorite game, so... But I mean, I just kind of wants to add. Just you could just it's open discussion.
To be safe, I think we all can safely say that we all like to play Magic. I mean,
yeah.
That's how us
yeah.
three met playing Magic.
Can't
so.
Stand it.
That's because you can't stand it. Doesn't mean you can't judge for it either.
Yeah. I actually used to want to be R&D for Magic when we used to go to Odyssey way back then.
Yeah,
I think everybody goes through that phase where you want to be
like,
part of R&D.
Yeah.
Then you realize how much work it would be, and you realize you'd probably hate Magic after.
Probably.
I don't know. I don't
you
think
know,
it would.
One of the Magic developers was saying that because they work on sets so far in advance, that they then go to like the release events. And it's like they're seeing a set for the first time again. They haven't seen it
and
in
you
2
said,
years.
Yeah, you said that they're like...
Oh, no, that's right. They're
yeah,
that far
they're
ahead.
They're like 6
right.
sets ahead or something?
Yeah, something like that.
That's some ridiculous thing,
man.
Yeah, they're pretty far ahead.
So...
That's crazy. How do you balance like that? I guess you don't have to.
When I met with Aaron, he said they're usually 9 to 10 months in advance is usually what they're...
Working on.
Yeah, 9 to 10 months in front of time.
Yeah, like probably what they do is they have production testing
which
all
like,
done, and then it goes to design. Then it goes to design, and then they take care of all the crap,
yeah,
and printing,
yeah.
And so all that stuff is not done. But the actual like the content, like the words.
We said what's interesting too. The way they start development is completely opposite from the way we started development. So we started from let's build 2 decks and play them against each other, and then we built the 3rd deck that was different from those 2, and then we built a 4th that was different from those 3.
This sounds so hard,
right?
That sounds so difficult. It really does.
The way they do it is they go. Let's make up a bunch of cards that sound fun. And this is literally what he said. Let's make a bunch of cards that sound fun, and we're going to build a... and they go into a limited environment, and they play with the existing card pool with those cards. And that's how they build onto it. That's where they. That's their starting point.
That was pretty cool. It'd be fun to get to have enough cards to be able to do that with for our game. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be really awesome.
We can't do it yet because we don't have enough.
But about a year's time, no? A couple sets are out.
Yeah, things go well, we will be able to do that.
So, recently I've been playing Skyrim a lot.
I was playing that for you been for 3 days into the Skyrim world.
That's not what happened.
I was playing it last night.
5 o'clock shadow.
I know how that feels. I did that with WoW for like 2 weeks. God. I disappeared.
So I'm pretty
vacuum in space.
Like I have a character that's like level 30 something, and I've done like two of the main quests because
so you do all side quests.
There's
basically
so much to do in that game.
I heard it's like 400 hours of side quests.
It's insane. Like the side quest chain that I've been doing could be its own game.
Oh really?
No problem. Like I'm actually kind of absorbed in that story and totally forgot that there's this main quest I'm supposed to.
You know, I thought it's just now that you're talking about Skyrim. I mean, because I was playing the game a little bit yesterday just so I could fall asleep because games put me to sleep usually, And you know, I found this book on the table, and there's writing in it. You know, you could read the book, and
everything has something.
Yeah, like, and they can get so deep. You know, I mean, I was like, man, who thinks of this stuff? And not everybody. I didn't read the book, but I just kind of flipped through it. Yeah. But some people do. You know, so it's kind of cool how you have a game with so much depth. And I don't know. It's just I think that's a big important part about games. Like kind of tagging on because that's what I think that's what makes games kind of fun too. Is like the depth of story. You know, like a really good depth of story, you know, like Skyrim, that's what makes people want to follow it. I think the thing that's kind of, like, a big example was kind of disappointing to me, like, Inception is a movie, and it's kind of almost off topic, but not really, is that there's no depth in Inception. It's a really good movie, but then there's nothing left. It kind of just ends. It's just a short story that got expanded into a really good movie with really good actors.
They could probably.
You didn't think the very end was a cliffhanger where they left you wondering?
Yeah, but it's not.
Is
like,
he or isn't
it's
he?
Not a world like Twilight
or Hunger
Games or Skyrim. It's just its own thing, which is cool. It's a piece of art.
Don't ever say Twilight again.
What's wrong with that?
Let me tell you something about Twilight.
I totally had the wrong impression. I didn't think you were a 15-year-old girl.
Hey, okay, look. Listen, I'm not like Twilight, you know, guru or fan or anything, but I have a girlfriend and she likes Twilight.
As my wife.
And I watch
Twilight.
As
my wife.
They are not terrible movies. They're not like the most amazing movie ever made.
My girlfriend has put as many hours into Skyrim as I have.
That's awesome.
Your girlfriend watches Twilight.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I'm gonna say is that it's worth watching once, at least once.
No, see, I saw Twilight, and here's the story behind that. I was on a plane to Korea, and it was an 18-hour flight. And they had this little screen in front of you in the seat, and you could watch whatever movie you wanted. I had run out of movies because it was an 18-hour flight that I wanted to see that were in English or Korean, for that matter.
It's a good story.
And then I finally watched Twilight, and it was still terrible. I was sitting there in the same seat I'd been in for almost, you know, 15 hours. And I watched this movie. I was already bored to tears, and I was more bored after seeing Twilight.
Well, all I'm going to say...
You enter the country depressed.
is that I don't think it's that terrible.
I don't think
so. I'm exaggerating.
Anyway, Hunger Games, I actually want to see it.
Oh!
Now, from what
book
I,
3, baby.
From,
awesome.
From the previews, and then from my wife, because my wife's read all the books, and she's gushed about it. I'm like, I want to see it. It looks amazing.
Did you say gush?
Gush.
Gush. Oh,
gushed about
gush?
It.
Oh, okay.
The magic card. Yeah, you're talking about the broken magic card? No.
That card's dope.
Yeah, I know. But just watching the preview too, and just hearing this the little paragraph that she told me about it. It's about the sectors, and they have a girl and a boy from each sector that go into this
districts.
Game thing districts, and only one of them comes out alive. I'm like, and they're doing it to children? Wow, that's crazy. I'm not promoting, you know, child abuse or kill children, but I mean, it's just a crazy idea.
It's good. Good for business. Thanks.
That's why I said I'm not for
that.
That's messed up
because
I want those kids to buy our game instead.
Well, the people that like that kind of stuff are, you know, it's young adult reading, you know, and, you know, after I finish this book.
Is that what they call Twilight? Young adult reading?
Yeah, young adult. Yeah, young adult books.
So funny.
Young adult.
We'll edit that one out.
Obviously, Jess Dunks has a hatred for the young adult movies. It's okay, though.
I don't know. High sales, Lots of money made. That's all I'm going to
say.
Oh,
you didn't bring it up from a business perspective.
I didn't even get to go there. I didn't even get that because genius.
It was
all the hatred in this room for
girls.
It's like, it's like Pet Rock, dude. Genius.
Love Twilight.
Well, how old's your wife?
20-something.
And my girlfriend's... That's smart. I was going to say. My girlfriend's 20-something also. So it's more than just... And there's more than just teenage girls that like that movie also. That because your or my girlfriend and your wife both like that movie. Yeah. So I know she has friends. My girlfriend has friends that likes it.
What about your girlfriend? She's still a teenager.
No, she's 20.
She's 20-something also.
No, she's just 20.
I meant teenager as... I was gonna say she was 19. I wasn't saying like she was younger than
she had to avoid having to go to Twilight with like her mother and other.
Oh, okay.
Ryan and I have a whole party breakdown if you want me.
So
he knew where I was coming from.
No, he actually meant teenager. My girlfriend is in fact 20 though. So
yeah, well, she was 19. So that's what I meant by that.
I was 19.
I knew that's what you meant by it, but just
yeah, you were once a ways back.
Yeah, a ways back. Thomas hasn't gotten there yet. He's still a 15-year-old girl.
Oh,
that's okay. Low blow.
That's okay.
All right, I'm done with the Twilight thing. I'm sorry.
All right, move on.
But we're talking about games, and you know.
So yeah, what makes them good games? I think is where we wanted to go.
Before we're off on a tangent.
Okay,
here.
Yeah. So I think one thing that makes games good game, and this is actually something that our game will have in the second phase, but doesn't have right now, is resource buildup. So it can make for a not fun game at times if it's too much based on luck, but if it's something that you're in complete control of, resource buildup is an awesome thing. Like Ascension, you are in control of building your resources in that game. You can choose whether you want to build them or not, and you have that power from the beginning of the game. Whereas Magic, you have
you have to draw it.
You're required to build your resources up, and you have to draw into it. And if you don't draw into it, it could be a problem during gameplay.
There's ways
around it. And
but, you know, the thing is, that's also that little bit of randomness is also part of the beauty of it. Like, and I don't want to talk too much about Magic because this is the podcast is not about Magic. But, you know, in the most recent limited environment, it's pretty common that it doesn't matter whether or not somebody plays first if they're trying to get to something that costs 5, because if they went first, they may not actually get to their fourth line drop, and if you went first, well, you went first, so you get to play it first. And it's pretty, even though it seems random, it's actually pretty consistent over the long term. When you play enough games, you start to notice patterns and consistencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I like the idea of completely taking that out.
Taking the
slightly random factor out of resource management and build up.
Oh, I see.
You know, I think it's still be something you have to draw, but
you know what comes to mind? Like you think of a game that's pure strategy, skill. Like the purest form I can think of is chess.
Yeah, and so that's what I was gonna say.
If
we wanted a game that was pure strategy, we'd just play chess.
But yeah, chess is not fun for me.
But chess is not fun. That's all. You know what's funny is that's what
I actually like chess. But
when I met with Aaron, that's the same. He used those exact same words in that exact same comparison. Chess is not fun. It's fun, but it's not the kind of fun that you want to spend money on. And
you know what will make chess fun? If we were playing chess with friends, and then you like ate a character, and the character just like ate the actual item, that would have been pretty cool.
And when it ate it, you actually had to take a shot of liquor.
No, like they're like little monsters that just like destroy pieces.
Have you seen that?
I just called battle chess. It's in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
No. He's saying take a shot. I actually saw a set when I was in Vegas. I saw a set of a chess set that was made up of shot glasses.
Yeah,
no. Shaped like the chess piece.
I have a checkerboard that's like that in my house. It's checkers with shot glasses, but you get drunk really fast on that.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you gotta do half shots.
Well, I'm not feeling so well. I'm gonna triple jump your dudes.
Give me my chaser.
That's pretty funny.
That's when those kind of games get really fun, but that's just me. Anyway.
He hasn't seen that.
Oh, yeah, your movie room.
Let me see.
Yeah, Thomas has his own custom movie room.
You didn't have to tell her.
Yeah,
I yeah,
he posted. I mean, that's good sharing.
That's what I want to play Skyrim on. That's why I have
You want a copy?
No, I do not want a copy of Skyrim.
Okay. You won't leave the house.
I will not leave that room.
The game won't. The game won't go into production.
You know what's funny? You've seen the collector. I didn't get it, but you've seen the collector's edition of Skyrim in the store.
No.
Well, the display for it is
with a big ass
this giant box. It's like they can't see my hands here. So like a foot or more. And it's a cube.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I realized that's not the display. That's actually the box.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did see it.
And it comes with like a big old figurine of some
like that size and like that. I mean, it would fit like. I can't keep thinking it's like a dragon.
Yeah, and it has like a leather map. And this guy was trying to sell it to me, and I'm like,
how much was it?
Need a leather map. I don't remember.
A leather map? That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, but I don't need that.
Unnecessary.
Like, I don't need to spend the extra money when I'm still going to play this game for God only knows how many hours. Anyway, you know how much time I'm going to spend looking at that leather map? Not nearly as much time as I look at the map in game, so I don't care.
Hey, you can cut it up.
Yeah,
and
I'd like to play it. I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
It seems like it's a first-person World of Warcraft.
Speaking of
it is.
Awesome,
it's like Dragon Age.
Speaking of awesome, since we're on the topic of what games we like, I found a link or somewhere that said the remake of Final Fantasy VII.
I've heard about that before.
You know, yeah, I've heard that rumor.
I'm waiting for the reboot. It's like one of the best stories.
But they got this new thing up saying that it's gonna happen finally.
Because I would like to play that game again.
Yeah, the thing is, people thought that was going to happen, and then come to find out, all it really was just the movie Advent Children being made.
Right.
And
this is way after Advent Children, because Advent Children was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, I know, but like it could be something similar where they're like making, God only knows, maybe they're making Advent Children 2, I don't know. But I don't want to get my hopes up.
So here's some other games, and these are app-based games, so these are on like the iPad or Android.
Yeah.
Plants vs. Zombies, awesome game.
Oh, strategy.
Strategy, yeah. And
so it's tower defense strategy games. It's a kind of a genre of gaming.
Yeah,
I love
like,
those games.
What's that name of the free game? The freemium game, it's called?
Pocket Legends?
Not that one. No, it's on the computer.
Shadow Era?
No,
he's talking about a tower defense
tower
game.
Defense?
I don't know, though.
It's like a... I forgot what it's called.
I don't have it.
Anyways.
Is it like a castle game?
Yeah, you're like, you just do and he attacks and you send your guys out. And
you just described every tower defense game.
League of Legends. There you go.
Yeah.
Like
that's
so
huge right now.
You know, I've never played that. I've heard it's good.
It's huge.
I don't like it. I can get on it.
It's so big right now.
So, how about games like Angry Birds?
Angry Birds is okay.
It's a good game.
Well, I like it.
You can't mess with a slingshot game.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
it's like slingshot and bowling.
Can't mess with $100 million. $100 million downloads, right?
Yeah, I saw this plane, and the plane was painted by like the red Angry Bird, which I thought was kind of ridiculous, since you would want to. That would
you'd want to crash
gonna
into
be
a building?
Crashing into something?
Yeah,
it's not a good idea. But yeah, that's kind of stupid.
That's awesome. So,
probably
you look, out the window, you're like, oh, got a pig farm.
But no, you know, what's funny is a lot of the games that I've known, you know, Settlers of Catan, huge game. Risk, another awesome game. They all have to do with resource buildup, your resource management and build.
How do you manage your resource in that game? This is the land, right?
In which one, Settlers?
In Risk?
In Risk.
It's,
I don't know why
you get troops.
That was so much like luck.
No, well, there is a lot. Every game has luck, but it's a dice game, so it is luck-based also, but you manage it based on where you attack, holding position. You get a certain amount of troops every turn based on the number of territories you acquire. It's really fun on the iPad.
It's not
quick.
As much luck as you'd think, though, because in Risk, depending on whether you're attacking or defending and various other things, the odds are stacked in your favor when you roll the dice.
Yeah.
It's not just like 1 through 3 is this and 4 through 6 is this. It actually...
You get more dice,
direction,
right?
Or you want more dice or whatever. So, you know, it's definitely a statistics game. But as far as the resource build, if you get so many guys every turn, and then part of that comes from, you know, what areas you control.
Yep.
Right.
And especially the strategy of, you know, I'm going to sit in Australia or Madagascar.
Yeah,
and take one territory turn and just sit here in my little corner of the world and pretend you don't exist for
a
while.
You do that in Brazil, it's a little harder. But
do you guys ever play, like, the futuristic version of Risk?
No.
That has the moon as its own territory, and you have to build, like, space.
They remade Risk. I made a new kind of Risk recently, but go on.
You have to build, like, spaceports that actually... that those connect to the moon, and your opponents can build, like, a spaceport in their territory that connects to the moon. Yeah, it's...
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's the same. It would be similar to having strategy like in Settlers of Catan. It's just it's monetary.
That's another awesome game.
Yeah, the game's amazing, and it's It's I had a conversation today. They've sold like 15 million units since they've been in.
Oh wow!
Since they came out.
Well, it's been out forever.
Yeah, it's like 15 years or something. But they're doing amazing, and they're I talked to the distributor I talked to today about the. I'm over here. You can't see Ryan. As soon as I said that, Ryan pulls his calculator out and multiplies $40 by 15 million. He had this really excited look on his face. But no, I think the point I'm trying to make is that every game has this resource management where it's a slow buildup and it's part of the strategy of the game. Whereas our game, you have the resource automatically, and it's definitely a strategy in the game during gameplay, but you don't have to build it up. So I want to add that to the game as the sets come out with alternate ways to either win or things you can build up to help you win during the gameplay. And that's kind of one of the strategies of the game.
There actually is already a little bit of that. I don't want people to think it entirely doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We have a few cards, things like the Arc Amplifier.
Yeah, it does.
That you play it and it adds more arc to your and so you play it, it's like you didn't even lose a card out of your hand.
Yep.
So building up those kind of cards is a little bit of that kind of build up, and there's definitely certain deck archetypes where you just play a bunch of that stuff and you never have to have anything in your hand.
Yeah.
So there is still some of that, yep. Especially with certain Aeons that already have a significant arc modifier, arc bonus already.
Mm-hmm.
But and for those of you that may not know, arc is the resource that is based on how many cards are in your hand.
Yeah, and actually that's something since you called it arc, intelligence for all of you who are listening to this who are used to us calling it or referring to our resource type as intelligence. We've changed it to arc since the name of the game is arc, and it makes a little bit more sense, a little bit shorter, a little bit easier to remember, rolls off the tongue a little nicer, and it fits our storyline a little bit better.
So I didn't realize the Thomas hadn't announced that, so didn't mean to jump on your announcement there.
That's okay. No, it needs to be announced. We need to switch everything over this week anyway, so.
But yeah, so there's still some of that build up, and I look forward to seeing more of it in the future. I think it's
going
to be good.
Yeah. I think that's it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that was a good podcast.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was fun.
Now, do not crash.
You still recording?
Are you sure you want to?
No. Don't you just hit the record button again and it stops recording?